Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
How many of you were here to the conference this weekend? Wow, okay, good, good, good. You've received a lot of stuff. And Bill is a teacher, an anointed teacher. It's one of the fivefold ministry gifts. And a teacher goes in depth about things that a pastor probably will never even have the time to study. He has done his homework, and he's very gifted, and we've been very blessed. Every time we get together, I go, how come I didn't know that? Well, it's because it's a gifted teacher. That's a sign of a gifted teacher. They just bring truth to you. You go, I didn't know that. And you're about to receive truth again. You're going to walk out here scratching your head and say, how come I didn't know that? Well, that's why God gives us teachers. One of the fivefold ministry gifts is teacher. And that's not all he does, but that's his gifting and calling to us here today. And so, Oh, yes, feel free. Would you like to do that? I wrote a list this morning. Yes, we have a list of gratitude, a thanks to all the folks. You know, you just can't have a seminar and it just happened. It happens only because you got faithful people that work behind the scenes. Let me say a public thank you to Jenny and her sister, Patty, too, and Brian. They got the lunches yesterday and got all that stuff together, and it wound up being a bigger job than they ever expected, as well as Kelly Nabranowski, our watchman team. I want to thank you for being here and serving and just being faithful like you are. Our intercessors for interceding and praying for Bill and this weekend. Ushers and greeters, thank you for being here and serving. Our counters, Esteban, Josie, cleanup team. Who else? If I forgot you, I sure didn't mean to. I just want to say thank you, because we could not do what we do without you. And you deserve great credit. And thank you. We do deeply appreciate it. Very, very much. And am I forgetting anything, Steve? Yes, I am. I'm forgetting to welcome our first-time visitors. Thank you. See, I mean, what could I do? Where would I be without the Lord and without Steve Brunner? Where would I be? That's a song, isn't it? All right, if you are a first-time visitor, we'd like to just honor you. We want to just want you to raise your hand, and we want to put a little card and a pen in your hand and ask you to just fill it out. So look around, ushers. They're already raising their hands up, okay? And just welcome you and ask you to just drop it in the offering boxes, or the ushers on the way out. We have a gift to you. I've given a lot of you came to seminar. You already, if you wanted it, the books are available for about our church and how we began, our history and all that. That's available to you free. We'd like to give that to you as a gift. If you didn't get one, then stop by the book table out there and pick up one today. We're delighted to have Brother Bill and Sylvie Suddeth. They are unique. Their ministry is unique. I had a great compliment yesterday. A lady came up to me and said, thank you so much for having them here, because deliverance is one of those things that churches get away from, or a lot of them run away from. But it is a vast part of Jesus' ministry was deliverance and inner healing. And Bill has got the expertise and the years to back it up. And Sylvie and all the materials as well back there on the table. Be sure to avail yourself of them today, because you'll continue to learn vastly from Brother Bill. What can I say but thank you for coming and allowing us to receive from you again, brother. Come on up and share whatever God's put on your heart to share, and let's have fun.
Let my wife greet you first. Say hi to everyone.
Good morning. Just want to say it's a pleasure to be here with you folks. It's a great church, and We are blessed to be here with you. So thank you for having us.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. Worship was powerful. We had a powerful weekend. How many were here again this weekend? Praise the Lord. How many got something this weekend? Amen. Amen. So we were blessed. Pastor Gary, Pam, thank you so much for inviting us back. It's so good not just to be here and to teach, but to rekindle the love with you guys that we've had for many years now. So good. It's like family. It's like a homecoming. And then seeing so many folks that we remember from years past. So very nice. You know the one song we were singing, God's Raising Up an Army? And the chains, breaking our chains, right? That's a prophetic song. And you need to understand this, though. When you got saved, you got drafted into God's army. Hello? And a lot of folks, you know, I had a gal pastor one time, a couple at Bible college, and they were a wonderful, wonderful couple. Been married a little while, young kids, and they got pregnant. And she had a miscarriage, lost her first baby, and lost it right before a missions trip we were going to do. And I suggested, because of the trauma and the grief and the upset and the hurt that they had, that they would postpone coming to this ministry. They should just, you know, take some time, get squared away, and then come. And they were insistent, no, we're going to go, we're going to fight through this. And they came, and I think the second day of the ministry, they ended up on a couch in front of me, both weeping, her sobbing, saying, Brother Bill, when I got saved, I didn't join to fight. I got saved to sit on a pew and sing songs. That's what she told me. And when she did, my heart broke. And I said, darling, I'm going to tell you a secret. When you got saved, you got drafted into God's army, and you're going to fight or you're going to die. It's really that simple. Listen to what I'm saying. Here's what happened. When they graduated 2 years later, they went to an island called Irianjaya. Most of you do not know where that is. Irianjaya is an island of Micronesia. And people say, well, where's Micronesia? Well, it's near Indonesia. It's near Papua New Guinea. The island they went to, the particular one, the natives were still buck naked. They were killing monkeys and rats with blowguns and bow and arrows. And that's how they were surviving. And this couple went there from Bible school as missionaries. How many understand from the night on that sofa until they got to the jungle, she learned warfare? Hello, are you with me? Listen, we are the army of God. The problem is, it's with any army, there are wounded warriors, there are wounded soldiers, and you cannot win a war with damaged soldiers. You cannot go overseas right now to Afghanistan and open up a field hospital, tell all those men to get out of those bunks, hand them a weapon, and tell them to get out there and get them. They're going to be slaughtered because they're wounded. They're not fit for battle. You know what? That's a picture of the church today. It's a picture of the church. That's why deliverance and inner healing and knowing who you are in Christ is so vital and so important in these end times. Amen? Are you with me? And Pastor's right. I'm a teacher. I get a little preach on me once in a while. If you like Tex-Mex, that's a good picture of me, teach, preach, okay? I'll teach, but I'll get fired up once in a while, and then I'll get back to my teaching. So if you'll ride with me on that this morning, that's what we'll do. But I want you to understand that. He wants to break our chains so we can be the men and women of God he's called us to be, so we can advance the kingdom. Amen? Amen. And I was torn in messages this morning, Pastor. I really had to pray, God, what do you want me to share? I wanted to share a different message. I wanted to share one called Finishing Well. See, all of us had a good start if we're saved. No matter what was behind us, once we got saved, we started over. And everybody had a good Sinai experience, a good start spot. But some of us now have grown weary. Some of us have grown tired. Some of us have been through trauma and grief and disappointment and upset and hurts and wounds and all the stuff that goes with life. And some of us right now are really maybe not where we should be. And that's really what I wanted to preach. So I just got a little bit out. But that's not where God wants me to go this morning. What he wanted me to really share this morning was to kind of finish or wrap up what we did this weekend. So you folks that were here this weekend, you're just going along the rest of the ride, and the rest of y'all are just hitchhiking. And just to be honest, you missed it this weekend. We had a good time. It had nothing to do with the teacher, but there was a presence of God here that was incredible. Amen? If you did miss it, we do still have some resources on the table. We've got, we have 22 different DVDs. This one is about healing and receiving your healing. We've got other ones out there. We've got a book for people who've been abused, been damaged, called The Restoring of Innocence. And then the prayers we prayed yesterday, some of them, and the prayers we use to take people through healing and deliverance are in a book called The Training Manual, Deliverance Training Manual. So I just want to make you aware that Sylvie will be out there at the end of the service, and we hate to take product home. Materials home, because we came to be a blessing here and just get it out here. So we've got plenty at home. So we want you to avail this stuff and take it with you. Amen? Amen. Do we have a truce that set us free up there? Hallelujah. Where are we at? All right, truth that'll set you free. Go to the next slide, if you would, please. I shared yesterday, again, in part of the teaching, that what deliverance really is. Most people don't understand deliverance, and they're afraid of it. They're afraid of demons. They're afraid of deliverance. We call them the D words, because people just kind of panic when they hear them. But we explain to folks what deliverance really is. And if you'll see here, 75% of what we do in the ministry of deliverance is nothing more than bringing truth to people, renewing their minds. Are you with me? Hello? 20% is healing wounds from their past. Many go back even to childhood. We had folks here yesterday that actually went back, I know one lady, to 4 years of age and dealt with an event that happened to her that damaged her, and she received healing in that area, the one lady I dealt with. So inner healing, renewing the mind. The least thing we do with Christians, with born-again believers, is cast out demons. Most Christians don't have demons. But I'll tell you what they have. They have hurts, wounds, disappointment, shame, frustration, anger, jealousy. Shall I go on? Hello? I'm reading somebody's mail. I don't know. Maybe this is for one person. I don't know. I think it's for all of us. We all deal with the little foxes. So what I want to do today is kind of continue. I dealt a lot this weekend with the deliverance part and the inner healing part. I want to talk about the renewing of the mind part this morning. I want to get some truth in you, because the Bible says the truth will do what? It will set you free. And I tell you what else it'll do. It'll keep you free. Amen? Amen. So let me give you some background on this. I shared this yesterday, so you folks heard it, and the ones that weren't here will kind of catch on here. I used to do deliverance Monday through Friday. I had a 10 a.m. session and a 2 p.m. session. So 5 days a week, 10 sessions a week, I had scheduled. Then we had crisis situations and, you know, this one and that one and the other. So we were doing, I don't know, 20 deliverances a week probably for a period of years. But I had my 10 scheduled. And the one morning, I shared this yesterday, I had a 19-year-old child, young lady. She had been a prostitute. She had been a stripper. She had a personality disorder. Her stripper, when she stripped, it was one of her altered personality's names. That's who stripped. She was a drug addict. She was in a psych ward, a mental hospital, for a couple years, starting at age 12. This child had been through every kind of hell
molestation, perversion, drug, you name it. This child had been involved in it. She was 19 years old. And she sat in that chair in front of me, and the first thing I'll tell you is, I didn't look at her and think, dear God, what a mess you are. When I looked at her, I thought, dear God, what a calling of God must be on your life, because the devil has done everything he could do to a human to take you out. Yet here you are. Amen? And we ministered to that child, and it was a period of weeks. It wasn't an instant thing. But in a period of weeks, that child was a different child. Her countenance was different. Her thought life was different. Her attitudes were different. Her actions were different. She got touched by God. And I'm going to tell you what, you've never seen someone more grateful to God. See, he who's forgiven much loves much. Amen? Amen. So that afternoon, I dealt with a pastor's daughter. And again, I shared this yesterday and shared what the Lord showed me and some other aspects of it. But I want to get this part out to explain this next part. This 18-year-old child was a pastor's daughter, grew up in a denominational church. She was a picture of purity. She had never kissed a boy or a girl. She had never had a drink. She'd never smoked anything of any kind. She had never snuck out at night. She'd never done anything. She was a picture of purity. In fact, the only thing this child had ever done, and what the devil was tormenting her with, was the fact she took 50 cents from Mama's purse one day to run out because the ice cream truck was coming, and she couldn't find Mama, but her handbag was right there, and she took the 50 cents and ran out and bought an ice cream. That child was under more guilt, more shame, more condemnation than the first girl that morning. I was devastated. I couldn't get through to this child. And I mean, I'm talking to her, I'm giving her truth, and she's, oh, but you don't understand. I knew better, Pastor. I shouldn't have done. Oh, I'm a preacher's kid. I'm a church kid. I grew up in church. Listen, I grew up in bars. I grew up in a heathen home. But I always knew better when I sinned. Amen? We all know better. But one point, I got so frustrated with this child, I flipped my Bible open, and I guess they thought I was going to hit her with it, but I flipped it open, and I just shoved it right in her face, and I took my Bible, and I said, read that, and I shoved that scripture right there in her face. Go to the next scripture. Go one more, please. Right there. I shoved it in her face. I said, read it. Read it out loud. And boy, she was trembling. And she said, the Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. I said, abounding in what? She said, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. He does not what? He does not treat us as our sins deserve. And then it goes on to say, or repay us according to our iniquity. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. I said, you fear him, don't you? And she, yes, sir. I mean, you know what happened? I was in her face with the scripture. Go back one slide, if you would. One of my ladies on my team later said, do you have a name for what you just did? Because here's what happened with this girl. She knew every scripture. I took her through a series of them. She knew every one of them. But they were all up here, and they weren't here. You hear what I'm saying? You can know the scripture, but until it goes from your head to your heart, you're not living it. And what I did is I made it, or I helped her, get it from her head to her heart. At one point, she burst into tears because all of a sudden she got it. And I took her through a series of scriptures. And then one of the ladies on my team said, do you have a name for that, what you just did with the Bible? I said, no. She said, I do. I said, what? She said, confrontational scripture reading. I like that. I'll buy that. I'll do that. Yeah, okay. So we'll call it that. I've done this all over the world. We were in Bermuda, and we had a line of people we were praying for. My wife had a woman over here bawling, and she called me over. She said, do that Bible thing with her. So I opened that Bible and shoved it in her face and read that. And as she read it, she started weeping. And again, it went from here to here. I've seen as much healing going through this particular little episode I'm going to show you as I've seen in anything we do, Pastor. Not casting nothing out, but getting truth, not in head knowledge, but heart knowledge. Amen? Amen. So let's go to the next scripture. I want y'all to pray it with me and pray it out loud. Would you do that? Come on, let me walk you through it. I'm going to give you some confrontational scripture reading this morning. I'm going to give you some truth that'll set you free. Amen? Amen. Read it with me. No, back please one. Read it with me out loud. The Lord is compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. Do you fear him?
Yes.
It was weak. Do you fear him? Next slide, please. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Stop for a minute. Why the east to the west? Why not the north to the south? They never meet. Yes, ma'am. See, there's a north pole and a south pole. It's a measurable distance. It's 17,000 miles. Where's the east and west even start? Where does it end? He's saying, that's how far I've taken your junk from you. Amen? Amen? And then it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Stop there for a minute. That, if I could remove one sentence from the Holy Bible, that would be it right there. Father's love. Father's compassion. You know why? Because so many people don't know of earthly father's love or compassion. In fact, that's the problem most people have, because an earthly father models a heavenly father. That's our job as a father. So if our father is harsh and he's always angry and he's always demanding, kids grow up thinking God's up there, but he's watching and he's waiting and he's going to get me. That's how people grow up thinking about God, because that's how their father treated them. People have a dad that provides great. They have good tennis shoes. They have backpacks. They have everything they need. They always have food on the table. But dad comes home late. He grabs some dinner, goes in, gets on the lazy boy and becomes one. Hello. He watches early news, the regular news, two raunchy sitcoms, the late news. The kids go to bed. Good night. The average father spends 35 seconds a day with his children in America. It's a current number, Gary. 35 seconds a day fathers spend with their children. So you know what that kid grows up thinking? God loves me, or God is going to provide for me, but he really doesn't care about me. He didn't really love me, but I know he'll take care of me. They grew up with faith. They grew up believing God will provide. They believe God will heal, God will deliver, God will take care of their finances, their retirement, but they really don't think God loves them. Friend, I'm going to tell you what, he loves you. I said he loves you. There's a place in God's heart, let me tell you this, that only you can touch. There's a place in God's heart Bill Suddeth can touch that none of you will ever know about. And there's a place in God's heart that you only can touch that no one else will ever know about. He made every one of us unique and special to touch a place in his heart. Amen? Tell the person next to you, I'm special. I tell Sylvia all the time, I'm God's favorite, don't I? I tell her all the time, I'm his favorite. Listen, and I feel it. I feel like his favorite. We should all feel like his favorite. Amen? Hallelujah. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Come on. So the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. What is dust? What is it? It's dirt. He knows we're dirt. He knows we're going to blow it. He knows what we're made of. He created us from dirt. When we die, we'll turn back to dirt. Do you know what Adam means in Hebrew? Red dirt. It's what it means. He knows us. He knows us. Go to the next slide. Isaiah 1:18. Read it with me. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they're red as crimson, they shall be like wool. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat from the best of the land. I want you to notice it says your sins are like scarlet. Doesn't say they were. Hear me? They are. He's talking about today. He's talking about our capacity to sin that we all have. He's saying our sins are still red. They're still scarlet. But they shall be white as snow. They are red like crimson, but they shall be like wool. What do we have to do? We just have to be willing and obedient. Amen? And you know what's interesting? A lot of folks are willing, but a lot of them aren't obedient. How many of you have children? Not a trick question. Okay, bunch of you. How many have grandchildren? Yeah, a whole bunch. More people have grandchildren than children. How's that work? People are just afraid to raise their hand when a deliverance minister says something. How many of you, if you told your kid to do something, you want them to respond to you with, well, I'll pray about it? Huh? You know, my son would be crippled right now if he had done that. I'm going to tell you the truth. God wants obedience, and delayed obedience is disobedience. Hello? When God speaks to us, he doesn't want us to pray about it. He doesn't want us to see how it shakes out. He wants us to be willing and obedient to his word. Amen? Friend, you start being obedient. You start walking with Christ and doing what he's telling you. You're going to be amazed at how God can use you. You're going to be amazed how the supernatural can flow through you. Amen? Whew. That's what he's looking for. Willing and obedient. Next slide, please. Micah 7. I love this scripture. Read it with me. Who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? That's the God we serve. He delights in forgiving us. It makes him happy, Gary. It makes him happy that he can show us mercy. And then it says, you will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Corrie Ten Boom wrote once, after he throws them in the depths of the sea, he posts a no fishing sign. And the only one's going to fish them up is the devil. And you need to know that. There is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Hello? People, listen, right now, right today, yesterday, the past week, the past months, everybody that's called me says, my past keeps coming back up. Things that I did, things that happened to me, it's like it's like it got rewound and it's playing over and over. And I'm dealing with the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, all the fear, all that junk has come. You know what? That is a wile and scheme of the enemy. If he can't get you one way, he's going to try an old way. And an old way is he loves to bring up your past. Amen? You need to tell him when he brings up your past, I am forgiven. And it is finished. Amen? Friend, I'm telling you, this is the battle we fight. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting powers and principalities. We're fighting spirits that speak trash into us. And we need to understand that. Hallelujah. Go to the next one, please. Psalms 139. Read it with me. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You're what? No, you're what? I praise you because I'm what? He doesn't make junk. God doesn't make mistakes. Now, you can look around this room and you'll know he has a sense of humor. But he doesn't make junk. Listen, you are the right height, the right shape, the right color. You have the right nose, the right ears, eyes. He made you just the way he wanted you. Amen? You are fearful. Say it again. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Say it. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Amen? Somebody thank him right now. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank the Lord. Woo! Go to the next one, please. Read it. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Wow. Listen, you didn't hear my testimony if you weren't here this weekend. But I started taking drugs at 12 years old on a playground in sixth grade. I got saved at 40. 28 years of drugs, alcohol, perversion, you name it. And when I realized that God knew I would do all that garbage, yet he created me anyway. See, he knew the beginning from the end. So he created me anyway, not looking at my garbage, but looking at where I was going. Amen? Well, you're no different. I know we all have a past. But see, that's not what he dwells on. All the days were written before one of them came to be. He knew that I'd be here today. He knew you'd be here today. He knew I'd be speaking this today. Every day. Now, we detour, trust me. Oh, I'm a detour king. I can miss God easy. I did for years. The Lord, one time, Steve Hill, the evangelist from Brownsville, Steve and I are same age. We hitchhiked across the country the same year, went to the same concerts, slept in some of the same drug houses, did the same drugs. I mean, we crisscrossed the country about the same time. We figured it out one day. And I said to Steve, why'd you get saved 20 years before me? I said, makes no sense. He said, brother, don't worry about that. He said, God's got it. Just do what God's called you to do. I'm one of the, remember, I said, I'm a why person. So I went home and I got on the sofa and I said, God, why? Why did you save Steve 20 plus years before me? And he's serving you like he is, and I'm just now getting to know you. And the Lord said, go in your bedroom. There's an old Bible in there. It's a zipper one. It's the one you got when you were a kid. I thought, Lord, I don't have that. He said, go and look. I found it in a box. I unzipped it, and there was a track. And it was dated March 10th, 1974. And then he played the video in my mind. When I was selling drugs at a college in Kansas, under a big oak tree, I was selling dope, And a boy walked up to me with a track and gave it to me. I looked at it, gave him a few verbiage, and threw it back at him. A little while later, he came back up to me with that same track and a pencil. And he said, God told me to tell you to write the date on this and keep it. And I'm surprised I didn't punch him. But I wrote March 10th, 1974 on it, and I shoved it in my pocket. And I guess when I got home, I shoved it in that little zipper Bible. Never saw it again. 20-some years later, here I am sitting in my home in Pensacola, and I'm looking at that, and the Lord said, you never read it. You still haven't read it. Chick track, four spiritual laws, five spirit, whatever it is, four spiritual laws. How to get saved. Never read it. I sat and read it and wept. I realized March 10, 74, Steve got saved October 73. Or 75, I'm sorry. He tried to get me months before Steve got saved. Think about that. See, I maybe missed God right then. But you know what? He's a redeemer. He's a restorer. He fixes it because he has a plan. Amen? Amen. Go to the next slide, please. I deal with folks all the time that they think they were a mistake. I had a man, he had a brothers and sisters. They were all a year apart, four or five of them. 11 years later, he's born. Guess what they called him? The mistake. They called him the slip up, is what they called him. But the mistake, the accident, I've heard this with countless people. Well, you know what? Read this scripture with me. John 1, 12 and 13. Go back. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children of who? Now the next slide, please. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. What's that mean? That means you were not born of natural descent. You were not born because a man and a woman laid down together. That's not why you were born. You were not born of human decision. You weren't born because mom and dad said, let's make a Tony. Okay? That's not why you were born. And it says of a husband's will. You were not born because your father came home with a gleam in his eye one night. You were born because God decreed it. Amen. You are a child of the King. Whew. I'm the only one getting excited. I'm going to tell you what. This is the stuff that changed my life. These are nuggets of truth. This is the truth that'll set you free. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You're not an afterthought. You were ordained every day written in the book before one of them came to be. Everyone in this room, everyone watching on a media, God has a plan for your life. Amen? Amen. Next slide, please. Next one, yeah. Read it with me. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. How many have been to the beach? Huh? How much sand is there? How much? You know what they say in New Zealand? Heaps. Heaps. With that in mind, read that again. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. That's how much he thinks about Gary Washburn. That's how much he thinks about Pam. That's how much he thinks about Sylvie, about Tony, about Garrett back there. That's how much he thinks about us. It would outnumber the grains of sand. We don't realize how big God is. He's a big God. Every one of us is special to him. I'll tell you something else. I told you there's a place in God's heart only you can touch. You know what, the devil cannot hurt God. He can't. The only thing he can do is hurt what God loves. What's God love more than anything? His children. His children. Somebody wants to hurt you. What's the best way? Hurt your kids. Hurt your kids. Amen? Go to the next one, please. Isaiah 41, 9 and 10. Read it with me. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you, so do not fear. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am the Lord. I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So what did it say? Number one, you are my servant. So who is God's servant? Come on, who's his servant? I am. I'm his servant. You're his servant. And he's done what? He's chosen us. We're not rejected. So he says, do not fear. I shared yesterday, 81% of people I take through deliverance have crippling fear. Well, we shouldn't fear because we're his servant. And he's going to uphold us with his righteous right hand. The right hand is his power hand. You got God's power holding you up. Fear not. Amen? Whew. Next slide, please. Jeremiah 29:11. Y'all know the scripture. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. A hope and a future. You have a hope and a future. God has a perfect plan for your life. Whew. My, my, my. Oh, my. It's the Word of God. It's the truth. And if we'll get that truth, we can walk differently. We can deal with situations differently. We can deal with people differently. People are people. And family is family. Amen? But we can deal with it different. Next slide, please, Jenny. Isaiah 42, 5 and 6. This is what God the Lord says, he who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk in it. Is he making clear who's speaking? Is there any doubt it's God? No, he's making it plain. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you. Wow. Amen. Come on, give him a hand. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I don't have to fear. You're taking care of it. Even when it looks terrible, you are behind the scenes and you will take hold of me and keep me. I still have a hope and a future. Excuse me. Next one, please. What's it say? What's it say? What's it say? Fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Amen? Amen? Listen. He has redeemed us. I've got the right crowd here. I can tell by the colored hair, no hair, and gray hair. How many of you remember S&H green stamps? Look at that, would you? I remember as a kid going to the Exxon, going to the Safeway, and my mother getting no stamps, and we couldn't wait to get home and open that drawer in the kitchen and put them stamps in that book. You had the five ones, right? You had the little ones. Remember that? And next to those books was a catalog. It looked like a Sears catalog. And my mama had already picked out, I don't know, the toaster oven, whatever it was. And as soon as we had the number of books, she loaded us all in the car, and we drove to, listen, to the S&H Redemption Center for her to claim her prize. Right? We're his prize. He has redeemed us. He has claimed his prize. And we're it. Whew. I try to share this at a youth thing. It doesn't fly. They're like, S&H what? Go to the next slide, if you would. This scripture, if you read it in your Bible right now, it'll say, "Now listen, O Israel, my servant Israel, whom I've chosen." This is what the Lord says. "He who made you, who formed you in the womb, who will help you. Do not be afraid, O Jacob, my servant Jeshurun, whom I've chosen." That scripture means absolutely nothing to you. It doesn't. It's just a scripture. But if you will take and put your name, if you will personalize your Bible. So I want you to read that and put your name in those blanks and see how different it comes out. Read it with me. "But now listen, O Bill, my servant Bill, whom I've chosen. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you, do not be afraid, O Bill, my servant Bill, whom I've chosen." Wow. Doesn't that change everything? Doesn't it? See, you need to understand something about the Bible. It's not just a rule book. It's not just an instruction manual. In fact, there was a professor in an auditorium at a well-known college, had an auditorium full of kids, and he held up a Bible. He said, "This book is full of fairy tales, exaggerations." Oh, I just railed the Bible. And a young Christian in the back stood up and said, "Professor, with all due respect, that is a love letter to Christians, and you should not be reading other people's mail." Amen? It's a love letter to us. We can personalize it. We can put our name in it. Read it again with me. "But now listen, O Bill, my servant Bill, whom I've chosen. This is what the Lord says. He who made you, who formed you in the womb, and who will help you. Do not be afraid, O Bill, my servant Bill, whom I've chosen." People say, "What version is that?" I said, "That's a BBV. That's a Brother Bill version." Amen. Next slide, please. Same thing. Read it with me. Put your name in it. "Remember these things, O Bill, for you are my servant, Bill. I have made you. You are my servant. O Bill, I will not forget you." God's not going to forget you. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to throw you. He is on your side. Amen. I don't know who this is for. Maybe it's for a bunch. Maybe it's a few. But get this. Get it from here and get it here. Get it. Leave here with it in your heart today that God really loves me. No matter all the hell I've been through or what might happen today, God loves me. Amen. Amen. Next slide, Jenny. Isaiah 44:22. Read it with me. "I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have claimed my prize." There's some of you here today that you might be doing things you shouldn't be doing. There might be things you're doing that you know would grieve the Holy Spirit, would grieve the Lord. And what he's saying here is he'll sweep that stuff away. It's like it never happened. He just wants you to come back to him today. I'm going to open the altar in a little while. I'm not going to keep you long. I'll tell you like Elizabeth Taylor used to tell her husbands, "I won't keep you long." Okay? But I'm going to give you a chance. If I'm talking to you right now, if there's something between you and the Lord, he wants to take it. He wants to claim his prize back. You're his prize. Amen? If we have a prize and it's tarnished and rusted and really messed up, It's not as exciting for us, is it, than when it's shiny and bright. If there's tarnish, he wants to wipe it off. He wants to polish it. He wants to take care of it. I preach one message called a vessel of honor. A vessel of honor. How many understand we have fine china in our home and we have mop buckets? They're all vessels. They're all in our home. But I guarantee at Christmas or Thanksgiving, when you set that beautiful table, you're not going to put a mop bucket for a centerpiece. Are you? Because it doesn't bring honor to the table. We're all vessels. We all belong to him. But he wants us to bring honor to him. Amen? Next slide, please. Hallelujah. Isaiah 49:1. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. I actually taught on that this weekend, so I won't go much into it. But I'll tell you this. He bragged on you when you were born. That's my daughter. That's my son. And he's going to do this and this and this. Because every day is ordained in the book. And the devil said, stop him. Stop her. Don't you let them fulfill what God just said. End that. Do whatever it takes. Molest them. Kill them. Get them on drugs. Get them in sex. Do whatever it takes. Get them pregnant. Well, you don't let him fulfill that. But you know what? He's a redeemer. I said he's a redeemer. He'll make your mess and make a miracle. He can take whatever garbage in your life, see, because I had a lot of it, and he can use you to help other people get rid of their garbage. Amen? You can have enough garbage that you could be a garbage collector. Hello? Right? God prepared me for this ministry as an exterminator. I did pest control. I still do pest control. I work for a company called Critter Getter. We'll get those critters. Next one, please. Isaiah 54:17. Y'all know this scripture. No weapon forged against you will prosper. You will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. How many servants do I have here? Amen. And people are going to come against you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to gossip. They're going to come into agreement with the devil. They're going to attack you. But you know what? You're going to refute every tongue that accuses you, because that's the heritage, next slide, Jenny, of the servants of the Lord. What did we look at it a minute ago? Read it with me. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. We're his servants. We will refute the lies of the enemy, the accusers, the accusations, the gossip, the backbiting, all the stuff we go through. And friend, we've all gone through it. I said we've all. Is there anybody here that hasn't? I'm going to get you to pray for me. We've all dealt with this junk. Amen? Go to the next slide, please. Jeremiah 1:4-5. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I what? I knew you. Before you were born, I did what? I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. In my Bible, Gary, it has little captions over passages. And on that one, it says the call of Jeremiah. And the Lord spoke to me one day. He said, put and Bill. And it's in my Bible. So you can write in your Bible. Do you know that? You can personalize your Bible. Mine says the call of Jeremiah and Bill. I knew you before you were born. I set you apart. I've appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Amen. We all have a calling from God. Next slide, please. You'll get to a point, and this is one I have to tell deliverance ministers, And I have to tell people sometime that I have prayed for. And they just can't seem to get it, Gary. They can't seem to get over the hump. You've done everything you know to do. You've done inner healing. You've done deliverance. You've done counseling. You've exhausted everything you have. And they'll still say to you, but why? I've had this. You've had it. But why? And sometimes you just have to turn to Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 and say, ma'am, read this with me. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Listen, there are some things that we will never be able to make sense of. Losing a baby, losing a spouse, losing our retirement, losing a loved one. It's endless. People I know whose homes have been destroyed by fire, everything lost in a minute. Every memento, every heirloom, every picture, all the pictures of their family, grandkids, kids growing. I mean, you can lose everything in an instant. And people say, but why? And, you know, we tell them the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But God. But sometimes, and I've had people say to me, you know what? When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him. And I say, okay. But let me tell you a secret. If you get to heaven, you're going to be so shocked you made it. You're not going to say nothing for 10,000 years. You're going to think you slipped in. You're going to hide. Amen? Listen, God wants you to know today he loves you, that you're special. He has a plan for you. I'm going to tell you what this church needs. It needs a fired up deliverance, counseling, healing ministry. Amen? There's an anointing here. There's a sweet presence of God here. And my prayer is a team will be raised up in this church that will be able to help people get from where they're at to where they're going. Now, I talked to someone yesterday. I don't know if they went to this church or not. It doesn't matter. But we were talking. I don't know. Is it on the slide? Go to the next slide, would you, Jenny? It's not. Okay. I'll explain it to you. I talked to a gentleman dealing with pornography, okay? It's a common ailment, even with older gentlemen, because we're visual. And if something's there, and we tend to look at it, and I talked about that a little bit over the weekend. But let me tell you this. I call it the ABCs of sin. Every sin we commit, whether it's an outburst of anger, whether it's jealousy, lust, perversion, pornography, makes no difference, even stealing. It starts with a thought. Starts with a thought, and I call the thought point A. And then that thought, we engage it, and all of a sudden we're committing an act. We're looking at porn, we're masturbating, we're stealing something, we're lusting over something, we're fighting, we're jealous, whatever. But at some point between A, the thought, and over here at C, the completion is B. And B is when we realize we're blowing it. I should not be acting like this. I should not be looking at this. I should not be doing this. And sometimes it's all the way to C, a completion. You're taking it, or you're masturbating, or you're looking at it, and you're saying, I should not be doing this. And if you'll stop right then and repent, say, God, forgive me. Lord, that's not who I want to be. You know what will happen next time? The thought will come. The temptation will come. It always comes. And you'll start on that path. But as soon as you realize you're blowing it, you stop and repent. And what will happen, it'll get easier to stop each time. All of a sudden, B will only get to hear and to hear and to hear and to hear. And all of a sudden, I'm taking my thoughts captive to Christ Jesus. You can do this. Amen? There's folks here that some of you need healing. Some of you, I've talked to some, feel like you need deliverance. But before I deal with that, everybody stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're here, I don't know how many visitors were here. I don't know how many are regular attendees here. I will tell you this. I sat in the back row of a church up in West Virginia for 8 months before I got saved. I'll tell you the whole story just quickly. I was working for Terminix Pest Control. And this little church, I got a call Thursday morning that something was biting the pastor's wife on Wednesday night. And she was sitting in the back there. And I came in and put a flea trap, my bug trap, and light, and no bugs. So I told the elder Thursday morning, I said, if you'd like, I'll check the rest of the church for you. And he said, well, does it cost anything? I said, no, it's free inspection. He said, okay. So as I walked from the back of the church and got about this far from the pulpit, I felt the presence of God as, for the first time as a total heathen. I mean, I was still hungover, but I felt a tangible presence. And I started coming to that church because I knew something was there. Something's here, by the way. Hello? But I sat in that same spot, Gary, for 8 months in a suit, raised my hand, sang the songs, pastor, everyone else probably thought I was saved. But I wasn't saved. I was counting the cost. See, I wasn't one of those desperate sinners. I was a happy sinner. I liked my sin. I didn't mind catching a buzz or doing some other things. But one night, the Lord finally got a hold of me, and I came to that altar and changed my life 100%. Amen?
Amen.
So you might be a regular attendee here, but you might be counting the cost. I'm going to tell you what, it's priceless what God has for you. God can't use you until you fully submit to Him. So if you're here today and you are not saved, you don't know Him, you don't walk with Him, talk with Him, you've not had a salvation experience with Him, in a moment I'm going to open this altar. I want you to come. I want you to let me pray for you. If you know Him, but you're not with Him anymore, you've kind of pulled away from Him. And friend, it's so easy to do. We can so easily get caught up in the things of the world. I've seen the golf courses and the sports stadiums and the fishing holes here. I mean, there's a lot of things that could distract you. And I'm sure there's a lot of other things that could distract you. But if those things are becoming brighter and Christ is becoming duller, you need a fresh touch from God. You need a new encounter with Him. Listen, I'll be very honest. I walk with Him. I talk with Him. I ask Him, He answers me. He sits in the truck with me sometimes. One time I was fasting, He told me, stop and eat. And I said, but Lord, I'm fasting. He said, really? Like He didn't know. And I said, Lord, I'm fasting for You. He said, no, you're not. You're fasting for You. You want more power. He said, I want you to stop and eat. He wanted my obedience. I told Pastor last night, I haven't had a bite of bacon since 1998. That's rough. But God woke me up one morning and said, "You, William, you'll not eat pork again." And I said, but Lord, it'll ruin breakfast. He said, you'll not eat pork again. And obedience is better than sacrifice. I don't understand it to this day. I still love the smell of bacon, I'll be honest. And every once in a while, Sylvia would give me a bite of her sandwich and she'd miss a piece. And I get a taste, and then I have to repent. But obedience. Walk with Him. Talk with Him. The night He told me to stop and eat, I said, Lord, I'll be late for church. I'll lose my parking spot. 2,000 people at church. I had a spot in the front. side of the church. I said, be gone. He said, stop meat. I stopped, made a Chinese buffet. After 10 days of fasting, almost killed me. Bad, bad choice. Listen, got to church, my parking spot was there. I was shocked. You could hear the worship already going, stuff in the church. Everybody was inside. I backed into my spot because at night, backing out, you could run over someone on the ground at Brownsville because people were laid out. So you backed in. And as I parked the vehicle, I saw a girl come out of the breezeway, heard the door open because of the music. She came out and started down the sidewalk, and I recognized her. It was a girl that we were ministering to that was suicidal. And she was sneaking out. And I jumped out and called her by name, and she started to run. And I said, no, you stay there. And I ran across the street and got her. And I said, what are you doing? She said the voices and the things were just, she couldn't take it anymore. She was going to end her life. Had I not stopped and ate, I would have been in the church. And she would have slipped out and no one would have known. See, obedience, even if it makes no sense, it's obedience. Amen? He wants to have that relationship with you. He wants to walk with you, talk with you, hang out with you, joke with you. He wants to be your friend, your best friend. So if you're here today and you're not right with God, or you don't have that kind of relationship, I want you to step out and come up here. We have a prayer team and I'll help them pray. But step out right now if you need a touch from the Lord. Come on. Altar workers, you can come up. But I want folks to come up here that need prayer. Come on. If you need prayer, get up here. God wants to touch you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So God wants to touch you. If you're away from the Lord, if you've never known the Lord, if you're not walking with Him the way you used to walk with Him, He wants to restore that. He wants to sweep away the offense and bring you back, redeem you. Come on, right now, folks. He's calling some folks right now. He's talking to some folks that need to be up here. I'm going to give a call for people for sickness and for spiritual issues in a minute. Right now, I'm dealing with soul issues. I'm dealing with living for God issues. If you're not living right, I want you up here right now. In fact, I want you to ask the person next to you right now. Ask them. Turn around and ask them right now. Do you need to be up there? Ask whoever's next to you. Do you need to be up there? And if they need to be up there, bring them up right now. Walk them up here if they need to be here. Come on. Bring them up. Bring them up.